Welcome back to Gio and Jones.
Just flows out of it.
On CBS Sports Radio. Pete hates this. That's Brian Jones. I'm Andrew Bogish in for Gio. I still don't know how the show works in almost 3 years of being a small part of it. So that's
large
me.
Large, huge.
That's me.
Huge.
A little less large, I think, than I used to be.
Have you gone back to your cross training?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. You know what? You were right. That day that I was dying physically, I went to the gym, just rode the bike a little bit, yeah. Moved around, and it felt better.
There you go.
Felt better.
Listen to me, man. I got you.
It does not help that there's an NBA player at my gym that works out. He's always there at the same time I am. So
current NBA player?
Yeah, Tobias Harris. I don't think I need to keep that a secret. Tobias Harris is a Long Island guy. That's where I live now. And
Who's he play for?
I believe he's a Piston currently. Was an Orlando Magic.
Okay.
I think he's a Piston now.
So he works out at your gym.
Yeah. Fully head to toe in like awesome, sweet Nike gear.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Him and his sister, who's about to be a Division I player, who actually I've called a couple of her games for that small TV thing I do. I saw her first, and then here comes it's like her 6'8" brother. I'm like, oh, then Tobias Harris is here. So it's really unnerving when the regular people are making me feel bad in the gym, and then that dude comes in peak physical shape.
Right.
And does a major, major workout. And I'm over here, like, bicep curling 30 pounds. And
that's not bad.
Cut my arms off.
What's wrong with that?
A lot of things.
You don't need to be heavier than that. You don't want
to. But I do one rep, right? That's all I need to do?
You're trying to be Mr. Universe?
Yeah, that's the
goal. I saw a bodybuilder in the airport, West Palm Airport, the other day. He looked like Mr. Universe. I mean, the dude's arms were bigger than my whole torso. It was amazing. I wouldn't want to be that large, but you know, to each his own.
Yeah,
you don't need any more than 20-30 pounds.
I just need some firmness.
You
that's
look
all.
Fine.
Thank you.
Right. Well, you can get the firmness with lightweight, a lot of reps.
Right. Exactly.
That's all you need.
What does Jay Cutler need? Is the question. Jay is now in Miami in full Jay Cutler mode. Yesterday, it really is just remarkable. The amount of screen grabs that generated by his press conference yesterday and the posture and the looks of just disgust, like he doesn't want to be alive. And here he is signing for $10 million, begged to play out of his cushy TV job to play for the Dolphins again, and is walking into a very good situation. But he just seems to hate every damn second of it.
That's just his disposition.
It's amazing.
Yeah, his disposition is his disposition. He's not going to change. The die is cast. That's who he is. Easygoing cat. And he just comes off as ho-hum. Glad to be here, I think. And appreciate the $10 million or $7 million and $3 million in incentives. Yeah. And yeah, I'm good. You know, I had a little vacation over here we were planning and this and that. And coach calling. All right. Yeah, you talked me into it. I'll be there. Am I in shape? No, not really. But I'm a quarterback. How much shape do we really need to be in? And wow. Okay. How about you look alive just a little bit? Drag you off your couch, even though you had another gig. I'm sure that Fox gig, I'm positive that Fox gig didn't guarantee you $7 million,
no.
Another three in incentives. Give me a little bit more than that.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
I don't need a full-on like cheerleader
performance. I don't need you pounding
like,
the dais or anything.
Is there a Dolphin song he could have sang? I mean, I don't need any of that. But I just, you know, like that you're alive would have been helpful.
Hey.
Jay is also not funny. He, tried to be yesterday, saying that he was, you know, on the fence about this, looking forward to TV, wasn't sure he wanted to play again. But his wife talked him in to playing football again.
Well, the good thing is I play quarterback, so I don't really have to be in that great of cardiovascular shape. But I'll be fine. You know, Adam knows kind of what I've been up to, so we'll figure it out.
That's the best he's got.
Hey,
usually,
she's like, do you like in their house anymore?
Right. That's usually true for folks who've been married a long, long time. You hear them say that, and the guy comes home, he's done with his job, and he's around the house all the time, and mama is used to him always being gone. So, yeah, you get on each other's nerves. But he hasn't been married that long, has he? What, 6-7 years? That's about it.
Yeah, I stopped. It's been a while. It's not new. They've got a couple
it's
kids.
Not new,
and,
but still, you're recently retired, and to say that you're already, she's already tired of you. Damn, you must really be a bore, or yeah, really get on her nerves if that's the case, because you just entered into this retirement. How long, Mike?
2013.
Yeah, so June. four years. Yeah, wow. And so, yeah, you usually get that from couples that have been together 25, 30 years, and now pops is coming home, and mama's used to the house running a certain way, and you're messing up her whole MO. Then you get that line, not after being retired for 4 or 5 months and only married for 4 years.
It's funny. He kind of did the reverse Brian Jones. Instead of moving her to Miami, he moved himself to Miami to get some space.
There you go.
Interesting. Look at Jay Cutler innovating there. He could have said, you know, Casey, Kristen Cavallari, who was on a reality show. I think now she has a couple of businesses that are successful. I think she sells jewelry and shoes, maybe.
Which reality show was she on?
She was on Laguna Beach, which then I think became Laguna The Hills.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
She, like the original Laguna Beach, the good one from the beginning on MTV.
The good one.
And it's a little.
There's a bad one, too?
It got worse when it became like. It jumped the shark, and it became like really, 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 really unreality, and they all got to be celebrities and too big for their britches, and it was not watchable anymore. But at the beginning, it was awesome. Awesome. It was after you. You'll probably start liking it soon because it's on your like 10 or 12 year delay of pop culture. Like, there's this new show, Laguna Beach. There's a kid talent on it. He's kind of a jerk, but. And then Kristen Cavallari.
Hey, man, I'm busy, okay?
Yeah, that's what it is.
I was trying to clear the clutter on the DVR this morning before I came to work.
You were watching TV before you came here?
No, because I was wanting to record something. There wasn't enough room to record it because there's so much other stuff on there. And I have 3 DVRs, and still, they're all taken up. But anyway.
That was a new segment. And what did Brian tape to watch at a later date?
All kinds of stuff. Dr. Poe. That's my man, the incredible Dr. Poe. The vet.
Yeah, I know who he is.
All right. Taped a couple of his episodes. It's another animal show I taped. Animals doing crazy stuff.
I got to teach you about on-demand channels. You don't need to tape some of these
I'm aware
things.
Of on-demand channels, okay. Yes. And you're correct. And so I can get Dr. Pohl on demand?
You can. You can like log into like the Nat Geo app and put in a couple of, you know, a username and a password.
That's right.
And watch it that way.
That'll
too.
That'll save you a lot of space. You're
exactly.
Right. I was thinking of that this morning as I was recording all this stuff. Plus, I have the little sis when she's here, you know, downstairs, and she records a lot of stuff, and she doesn't delete it. That's what's taking up all my space, the fact that she's recording all this stuff. And she's supposed to be this Miss I Cut the Cord. It's like, I thought you cut the cord. You are watching a lot of TV.
Mm-hmm.
So much for cutting the cord. And back to Tubby, and the excitable little Tubby, Jay Cutler, he's right. He doesn't have to be in shape like a running back, but you still have to be in shape, man. You got to run for your life at times. So what do you mean I don't have to be in great shape? Yes, you do.
Yeah.
You have to be in pretty good shape, even though you're playing quarterback and you're going through all the details of calling the play. You get under center, or you take the snap, and then you go through all the things after you've delivered the ball or what have you, especially on the running plays. You got to follow through on all those little idiosyncrasies that are associated with the play. So you have to be, you can't be over winded and you're in the huddle. Blue, 32, on
here's
three.
My cigarette.
Yeah. Red right, 22, ZX. You can't be out of breath, huffing and puffing. Trust me, I've been there.
No, it was not the most confidence-inducing press conference from Jay Cutler yesterday. I think he's remarkably entertaining from a distance. I was looking forward to him doing Jay Cutler on TV during games. I thought it was going to be hilarious, so part of me is disappointed that he's actually playing football again. We're going to miss out on that, at least for this year. But to, you know, the out of shape thing annoyed me, and I was going to ask Charles Davis about that yesterday, but you know, Charles from the beginning, I don't, you know, he didn't really want to get too much into the specific Jay Cutler part of it again, but you know, there was no hint, no inclination that Jay had been really prepping to play again. So I was wondering, as this was happening, like, when has he thrown a football recently? Is he in game shape? I mean, this has all of a sudden now has pulled hamstring, pulled quad, pulled, you know, abductor muscle written all over it when he gets out there.
Football moves now. And Herm Edwards yesterday said, well, you have to now get a hold or get a handle on his pitch count. if you will. You have to figure out, you know, how much can we have him throwing the ball, and how much has he thrown the ball leading up to now signing with the Dolphins. So he's going to be – you thought you were sore. He's really going to be sore.
Well,
because he hasn't been doing football things. Maybe he's been tossing the ball a little bit when he's showing off his buttocks. But this is a different animal, man.
Well, and my assumption is
it's going to be hard for him to get out of bed after about day two.
Right, but my assumption is that he's, you know, he's, first of all, he was at a better starting point than I was when Juan and the HIT class took advantage of me.
Yes, he did.
And he's also been in the gym for years and years and years and years and years in shape. So I hope he's okay in all of this. But yeah, I would have liked him to hit the ground running a little better yesterday. He's obviously not going to play this week in there. Preseason debut, maybe not even play next week. I don't, you know, he knows the system, but you can't put him out there until he's physically ready to be out there. So we'll see what the Dolphins' plan is. His hair at least did look good yesterday as he's talking on one of our TVs right now in the studio.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a fat dude.
No,
he's
apparently not Russell, like,
was it Jared Lorenzen?
Yeah.
Was the USS Lorenzen?
No.
I mean, we're not saying that, but you still have to get in some type of shape to play football. And so, you know, how long it takes him, and he's 35, 34, 35. You know, the older you get, the harder it is to get in shape.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he'll be all right, but it's gonna take a few weeks to really start feeling like a football player again.
Apparently Russell Wilson was fat, or at least in the eyes of Doug Baldwin. He said Russell is slimmed down.
About 10-15 pounds lighter, isn't he?
Now, he always looked thick, sounds like a bad word, but he was not a tall guy, so he kind of always looked, you know, boxy
and
to me.
And he's got the rib protectors on.
But I mean, that picture where he's naked and she's naked and they're holding the kid and the belly, I mean, he didn't look like he was chubby. Is Doug Baldwin is fat shaming Russell Wilson this week? What's going on in Seattle?
No, and Russell went on this crazy not a diet.
The no
well,
sex
I guess you
diet.
Could go a diet. No what? No
the,
snacks.
The no
but he,
sex
he
diet.
Increased his calories. Oh no, they had to make them babies somehow, or that one baby. So I think they were having.
Yeah, but
a
for a while they weren't.
Right until.
So he was probably eating a lot of bonbons out of frustration.
Anyway, I'm gonna leave because he stole my woman. He's now his caloric intake increased. From like 20-something hundred to 4,800. And it's all about eating the right things. And you can do that. And he eats 9 times a day.
Yeah, this
my cooking and washing woman does that. She's always eating. Every time I talk to you on the FaceTime, you're eating. It's like a little mouse. Just always smacking on something. But that's what they say. And the wife is studying to be a nutritionist. She's almost there. I think she's done next month. And so, you know, you eat throughout the day.
Yeah.
And whereas, you know, I'll sit there and I'll eat one meal will count as three for most people. That's just how I roll. But, you know, she throughout the day, and Russell Wilson was eating 9 times a day. Now, how do you find time to eat 9 times a day during season, though? That's going to be interesting. Is how you do it. I mean, you're going to have snacks out there in your little pouch, your hand warmer pouch or something.
He's got on his left wristband, he's got the plays. On the right one, he's got like protein dust he just throws in his mouth.
I mean, but that's his diet. So he increased his caloric intake, 4,800 calories, and yet lost 11, 12 pounds.
I'm not lying. The money seems to be awesome. The fame seems to be great. Sierra as a wife seems to be a plus. But all of it might be trumped by the ability to eat 9 times a day and 5,000 calories. That might be enough motivation for me. To have tried to be an NFL quarterback or an Olympic swimmer,
And plus you have to factor in his metabolism. I mean, here's a world-class athlete, so his metabolism is burning all that. And you can burn fat when you sleep, depending on how well your metabolism is working. You can drop a couple of pounds if you get a good night's rest. That's interesting that 9 times a day he's eating and now he's intaking 4,800 calories.
Eddie Lacy continues to slim down, made another weight check in Seattle, 55 more grand for him.
God, I want that deal.
Right.
It couldn't
you got to get fat, and you got to be fast, and you got to be good, and then you can get it.
I know. So it's 7 different weigh-ins, And if he meets the requirements, it's 55 a pop, right? 55,000 each way in.
I think it totals like 350 grand.
Yeah. I do the math. 750.
Yep. Good for him.
No joke.
Good for him.
And I guess during the season, he has to be. This last weigh in, which was today, yesterday or today, he had to be under 250 or below. And throughout the season, he has to maintain between 240, 245. Yeah.
He's eating 8 calories a day while Russell is 48,000.
No way you can do that. He'd fall out. Yeah. He would fall out. You have to have something to burn. You have to have some fuel to burn. It's kind of like, you know, in business, you got to spend money to make money. And usually you want to spend other people's money. Well, you got to eat and have something to burn. Or he's not going to make it, even up in that cool climate of Seattle.
The Seahawks have placed Eddie Lacy on injured reserve because of death.
Because he fainted.
Because we starved him. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. For me, it's a career low, a Bachelorette breakdown, plus a Darwin Zook update next here on Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, this is UFC President Dana White, and you're listening to Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm waiting. I'm slow playing it. As always, head to geoandjones.com/audio to hear the best moments from this fine radio program. Eventually, at geoandjones.com/audio, you will hear our chats with Eric Coleman and Nick Foundo, CBS Sports college football analyst, and of course, one of the best golfers ever, and CBS Sports lead golf analyst ahead of the PGA Championship, which tees off on Thursday in the Charlotte area. Those guys in hour number three. The Bachelorette, after Darwin Zook, who I believe was once on a TV dating show. Is that correct?
Oh, I didn't know you were going to go there. Yes, that is true, Andrew. Yes.
I forget what it was called, but you were...
Love in the Wild.
Love in the Wild.
Was Love in the Wild.
Yeah, and I know I did not find love in the wild.
Were you actually in the wild? Were you in the jungle?
Dominican Republic.
Oh, yeah? Cool. Yeah. Oh.
You had to swim around, jump around there. It was
sweet.
Yeah.
I've been in doing that, too. Yeah. Swimming around, jumping around.
In Love in the Wild.
In the DR. Yeah.
No cameras involved.
Yeah.
Well,
it's better that way.
No witnesses.
Much better.
That's cool. So can we find an episode of this?
Yeah, if you look hard enough. It was about 6 years ago, but I encourage you not to look too hard.
So is that show not on television?
No, that was the last season.
Oh, yeah. You took them down.
Yeah, that was it.
The problem was the girl that they were trying to chase was stolen by a local Dominican, and it was actually Brian took her hostage, so they had to end production.
Show it in an interesting direction.
Love in my villa.
I got to get back to set. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Mm-mm, girl.
Yeah, we've lost say, Haley. All right. So the Bachelorette, but first, here's Dawn with your update.
All right, guys. Two of baseball's biggest young stars, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, celebrated milestones on Monday night. First, Harper blasting his 150th career homer as the Nationals beat the Marlins 3-2. Harper, the 14th player to reach 150 before his 25th birthday. And how's this? He hit number 150, the exact same age to the day that Mike Trout did it, 24 years, 295 days. And speaking of Trout, he turned 26 yesterday. He celebrated first by his teammates dumping a whole bunch of trash on him. That's an Angels tradition, apparently. But on the field, Trout also celebrated by collecting his 1,000th career hit.
I felt pretty good. Yeah, I just wanted to get over with. You know, a lot of people talking about it, but, just got to pitch in and hit a double.
Trout doesn't sound too excited there, perhaps because his Angels fell to the Orioles in the game 6-2. But Trout also did homer later in that game. It was the fourth time in his career he's homered on his birthday. Elsewhere on the diamond, the Cubs beat the Giants 5-3. And how about this from Javier Baez?
Javier drives one in the air, deep right center field. Back goes Moncrief, still going. That ball's off the wall and bouncing away. Javier might round the bases. Hayward has scored. Baez rounding third. He's trying for an inside the Parker. The throw to the plate. He slides. He's safe.
That's Pat Hughes, Cubs Radio Network. And inside the Parker for Baez, the Cubs win it, and they maintain their lead in the NL Central. Cardinals, though, sneaking up on them. The Cards won their third straight, hammering the Royals 11-3. St. Louis gets back to 500 for the first time since early June, and they're 3.5 games now behind the Cubs. Trevor Williams, quite a game. One hit over seven frames. The Pirates blanked the Tigers 3-0. The Twins got by the Brewers 5-4. Reds 11, Padres 3. NFL news, veteran cornerback Brandon Flowers expected to announce his retirement later on today. Meanwhile, former Jaguars offensive tackle Brandon Albert, he retired just a week ago after 9 seasons. Now apparently he wants to come back. Albert reportedly informed the team he wants to return, but no decision yet. Golf news, the PGA Championship getting underway Thursday at Quail Hollow in North Carolina. You can, of course, watch the final two rounds coming up on CBS on Saturday and Sunday. But starting in 2019, golf's final major will become golf's second major. The tournament will be moved to May and will be played about a month after the Masters. And finally, one NBA note, guys. T-Wolves owner Glenn Taylor said that he's willing to give his young star Andrew Wiggins a max-level extension of his rookie contract worth $150 million. But first, he wants to sit down and meet with his young star. Back to you guys.
Darwin, thanks so much. So
and when he meets with him, he's going to say, hey, you going to Cleveland. You going back.
So here we are with The Bachelorette.
Now, yes!
We can't take direct credit for it, but
we
can take most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we pointed out, before anybody else obviously did, mm-hmm. That there might have been some color issues
with
The Bachelor and The Bachelor franchise.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, really, really beautiful. I haven't really paid attention to it, obviously, on purpose, but Rachel Lindsay is not unattractive. Yeah. You can do that all you want, but she's...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's all right.
So she is the first black bachelorette or bachelor, and the season ended last night, and bachelor fans, the internet is angry.
Why?
Is angry.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, okay, here's my personal issue with this show.
So you're angry too?
Well, I mean, in general.
Okay.
I watch a lot of bad TV.
All right.
I mean, you Real Housewives of whatever, I'm there. Decorating shows, cooking shows, travel shows, your animal shows, I'm in.
Love cooking shows.
Yeah. But then the fact that this show doesn't actually produce love bothers me.
Oh.
Like, I think two couples... on however many seasons of Bachelor, Bachelorette are actually married in a real relationship for a long period of time.
Right.
They don't even get married and then get divorced. They usually break up shortly after the finale airs, and we know now who she picked or who he picked.
Well, you made that produce a lot. I'm looking at the quotes from last night, and this Eric Bigger,
who
wasn't
now.
Picked. He told Lindsay that I'll always love you.
Yeah, well, this is where
Lindsay? Rachel. That's
Rachel.
Her last name's Lindsay. Okay, let me get it straight. Then he said, prior to my experience, my heart was broken. I need some music, Pete. Come on, man, give me some love music. Some baby-making music. This is serious stuff. This Mr. Bigger was in love.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Pete, I'm waiting for you. You know, anytime. Today, tomorrow. Yeah. Here we go. Give me a sec.
This is like
love does not wait, man.
This is like me trying to open the hour.
Prior to the experience, my heart was breaking.
Mm.
I never had love in my heart, he said. With Rachel, she fulfilled my heart. That's what I was lacking my whole life. I just want to say, Rachel, to you, thank you for giving me that and allowing me to receive love from you, because now, right now, I'm a man. And while things, they didn't end the way that I hoped, have you to thank for the feelings I did have. I wish you nothing but the best. And I really just want happiness for you, and that's all. And thanks for the relations before you dissed me and didn't pick me.
Where the hell was that on the set of Stepping Back? I mean, if you acted like that, then there would have been at least
like
a second
Angie.
One.
Well, Angie was tripping.
Stepping back.
That's
back
why.
From the
but
dead.
But don't tell me there was no love. That's love right there, babe. Didn't you feel that?
I felt that's
I
what I'm saying.
I felt it, too. Woof. That's love.
You did that better than Eric did that last night on ABC.
Thank you.
But,
right.
So here's where the internet and fan anger comes from.
I see some of the anger here.
the problem
is funny.
Now, Eric was the last remaining black contestant. Yes. I don't know what the right what they call them. Suitor.
They call them black. Yeah. No.
We'll see in a bit. At some point, Nick Faldo will be
what
here.
What they call Long Island?
In Levittown, they call him.
Totally different story.
So if people thought that Eric was being kept around because of his skin color, which they didn't like, mm-hmm. and then they get to the last two guys. There's a Peter and there's a Brian.
Oh, okay.
And I guess
Brian had to won, then.
He did, but yes! That's the problem.
Why?
So Peter was the nicer of the two. I guess people liked him better. And because he, maybe as an adult, said to her, Rachel, I really love you. I just don't think I can propose to you tomorrow. Mm. It's too soon. She was like, you're out.
Okay.
And then she's basically going with choice B because choice A wouldn't follow the rules of the show.
Right.
Dude gets down on his knee and she loses her you know what. Like, I can't believe this is happening. Oh my God, the ring is beautiful. And it's not even the guy she wanted in the first place.
So it's phony.
And apparently he's a jerk, so his name is Brian, but why? That's your first sign.
Oh, there you go, why. Where here's the one tweet. Me have to watch an entire season of The Bachelorette just to watch her settle for the weakest mile follow. They weren't too happy, huh?
Yeah, it did not end well.
Oh, man.
And then apparently, to sugarcoat everything, they ran a preview for Bachelor in Paradise, which now will start in the wake of Bachelorette being over. Mm-hmm. And that takes us back to Corinne and that guy, DeMario, I think his name is, and you know what may have happened in that pool.
Okay.
Which was a very serious thing. I mean, remember that they shut down production. There was talk about, you know, like sexual assault or whatever. And then they, in their teaser trailer last night for this, they played like the part of them in the pool and other contestants talking about it as if it was nothing. Like, you should watch it because something happened in the pool and we weren't filming. So people are like, this girl, for a minute, we thought might have gotten like raped by somebody on the show.
Right.
And you're now going to, you're going to try and entice me to watch it? By using it as a topic and not seriously addressing it. So people got even angrier about that.
Oh. Yeah. So it didn't happen the way they said it happened.
I don't remember there being any kind of, you know, conclusion to that. The last thing I remember seeing was that we should stop making jokes about it because it might have been bad. Oh. But now ABC's using it to tell you that you should watch Bachelor in Paradise coming up here shortly.
Cool.
This is why I don't watch any of these
So
shows.
Is that where now the guys who didn't win, they will go to Bachelor in Paradise?
It's kind of like an all-star thing. It's not everybody that's left over from this current season. Mm-hmm. There's people from all over the place, I think. Oh. But again, I don't want to know these things about The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or Bachelor in Paradise because I don't want to waste my brain on this.
Oh, all right. Well, let's not waste what little brain you have left on this, right?
Amen.
Cool. All right. So
you want to discuss?
Way to go, Rachel.
Dead dogs,
Hook them. No. Oh, man, why would you go there?
That was an accident. Oh. Now, this dog was not killed by someone in its front yard. It was maybe neglected by United
Project's
Airlines.
Yard. It wasn't like we owned it. Not like we had a fence around it.
It's just grass? Well, maybe.
And mixed in with some concrete.
Oh, well, maybe they didn't know
what asphalt.
Maybe they didn't know what White Child was. Yeah. It was a loose dog, and they were self-defense.
Stop. Just go.
No.
You stop.
So I guess United Airlines, allegedly, is bad at keeping animals alive on their flights. That's been an issue for the airline. And the latest is a dog from Houston who was in the cargo hold. And it's cold there, and it's not really meant for survival. The plane sat on the tarmac for 2 hours before taking off. Mm-hmm. And when the plane landed, the dog had passed away. Now, this family in Houston is trying to hold the airline responsible. And the airline doesn't seem to think it's responsible. I believe the dog's name was Lulu.
Yeah,
for Lulu's passing.
What's the protocol there? Has United Airlines, have they outlined what usually happens in those situations when you have animals that are in your cargo area and the plane is sitting on a tarmac? Is there a certain threshold you have to meet before you say, hey, we have to make sure the animals that are in this cargo hold are still alive? Or do you send someone out to the plane to open it up? open up the belly while you're there? Because I remember shipping Hoyer down to Florida, and the flight was delayed, and I was concerned. So I called, and they said, no, we don't have the plane. The dogs boarded. We just keep them here in the kennel, and we actually walk them. And then once the flight has been cleared to depart, you know, we board them then. But as far as having them sit in the cargo hold, no, that's not part of our processes.
Yeah, I don't think they care much. Any airline cares much about living people, just anything. Just the other day, there were people calling 911 because they were on a plane for so long and there was no more food or drink and air conditioning.
How long were they on there?
Hours. Hours and hours. They were calling to be rescued from this plane because they wouldn't turn around and wouldn't go back and wouldn't take off and wouldn't feed them and give them drinks, and I guess there was no air conditioning, too.
Damn.
People were calling 911 for help.
Did anyone respond?
That I don't know. They didn't believe them. It was the same Pac-Man Jones woman. She just doesn't believe your story.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
you're
she's got nothing Rose for Royce. You. She should probably do something else. Yeah, you're on a plane for 8 hours, and they won't give you a Fresca.
There's no way you sit on a plane for 8 hours.
Come on now.
Eight hours? No way.
It was a long time.
No.
Yeah, I'm
not 8 hours.
Quick, Google. You stand. Play the music when Brian looks for women. I'm going to look for news stories.
It was 6 hours.
6 hours.
6 hours?
6 hours.
Why would they go back to the gate? Wow. Do we know which airline that was?
So again, the statement should have been like, you're lucky it was a dog and not the rest of you because we're not nice to anybody. I mean, this is crazy. Who's in charge of these things to get this fixed? Because that can't possibly... every day there's a new story. Every week there's a new story about some horrible thing on an airplane. People fighting, people being drunk and being stupid, being stuck on there for hours.
You
can't even worry about your pets down below.
I'm a knock on wood because that's just outrageous. How you keep passengers on a plane? You wouldn't want your own crew sitting on an airline or airplane for that long.
Well, that happened to my wife. They were sitting and waiting and then got on the plane. They're like, oh, and we just hit the union regulations for how long the crew can be working.
Right.
Now we need a new crew.
Yeah.
She said that there was almost a mutiny.
Yeah, that happens. And usually what happened if there's a delay, say because of weather or air traffic control, they have ceased allowing planes to fly, to land, what they'll do is, okay, let's make sure we get in line. So as soon as they lift the stop, we're here and we can take off. So I've been in that situation. But to be on a flight for 6 hours, or a plane sitting on a tarmac for 6 hours, that's just outrageous.
God, imagine if you had your kids, my kids. Oof. Oh, my goodness.
See, that's why you don't make any mo right there.
A statement from the airlines.
Which airline was it? Do you know?
Transat.
Okay, I've seen those, yeah.
Ottawa airport staff were unable to provide with loading bridges or stairs that would have enabled the passengers on the flight to disembark or ground crews to replenish the aircraft's empty drinking and water reservoir.
Read the first part again. They were not able to...
We didn't have equipment.
Yeah, basically what they're saying. You couldn't roll up some stairs to the flight?
336 passengers on board.
Oh, man. Where were they flying to and from? That's crazy. Oh, I've been upset, too.
You would have killed somebody.
That's amazing. Yeah.
I try. Imagine Pete on that plane. After 6 minutes, Pete would be like, you're starting this plane. After an hour, you would have been...
That's crazy. That should not happen.
I would have got off the... I would have demanded to get off the plane.
You would have forced your way through the plane door.
On the airline.
Pete ripping off his shirt in anger, dropping a shoulder, and plowing through the door.
So a lot of folks are wishing Rachel and Brian were on that flight, right?
Or at least Brian.
Yeah, or at least Brian.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Nice rock, Rach. Hook 'em horns.
Really? That's what you got? Hook 'em horns? Does that know any limits, the hook 'em horns?
No, what? Not if you're a longhorn.
You're just in.
You're in.
Commit a crime still?
Oh, no. Well, come on now.
Depends on the crime.
Why would you go there? We don't commit crimes. We're longhorns.
A very interesting... encounter in the hallway after our show yesterday, which involved me trying and failing to be cool. So
you tried?
I tried. Okay. It didn't work for the most part. Details next. Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah. Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sign up to be an O Rewards member today and start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. It's fast, easy, and free, and only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So as most of you know by now, if you listen to this show for a while, we are located in New York City, and two studios down is the legendary WFAN Radio here in New York. And in the mornings, Boomer Esiason and Craig Carton host a wildly successful sports radio show. And Boomer, of course, doing that after a very, very, very impressive NFL career. And something that Boomer has apparently said multiple times finally made the news over the last couple of days. And this is Boomer on a very serious subject, obviously, about CTE and what his future health may hold.
So in other words, if I, you know, died tomorrow and my brain basically was taken and researched and I was found to have CTE, which most likely I have.
Why do you say that?
Because I think all football players probably have it. The way I read it and the way I see it.
You think you have some level of it that maybe hasn't manifested itself yet?
I wouldn't doubt that you have some level of it because you were an athlete at one time. You played soccer. You've had a head injury. You've had a number of concussions yourself.
Right.
You might have had a car wreck where you hit your head or something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if you had it as well.
No, I snowboarded once and slammed the back of my head into the ice.
I wouldn't doubt that you have some sort of form of it as well. But we don't know all the answers.
Sure.
And then the thing that I appreciate more than anything, especially being in the world of Tourette's like you are, the world of cystic fibrosis or even cancer, the more we learn about our brains, the better it is for the guys who are playing today. The good news for the guys who are playing today, especially the guys who play a long period of time, they get paid a hell of a lot more money than we ever did.
Yep. I mean, that is a side part. That's an important part of it as
well. And they have much better benefits and retirement benefits than we do.
Now, we met, came across Boomer in the hallway after the show yesterday. They were in a commercial break. We were going down to meet, as always, after Monday with the Eric Spitz. And Boomer was saying, you know, I've said this a million times before, and now I say it once, now this time, and everybody's writing about it. It's not really news. But then you guys started to have a conversation about the whole subject and, you know, what's good and what's bad and what's real and what's not. And Boomer says, our generation. And then you respond with, my generation. And Boomer goes, how old are you? And you say your age. He goes, yeah, it's our generation. And now here's where I come in. Now I stop and I stand there, and it's you and him talking, and Craig Carton on the other side of Boomer, and I'm on the other side of you. And I'm like, oh, let me just stay in the big. And the three of you are all full-sized men. You're all over 6 feet. You're all in relative good shape. And there's little dweeb me. And I'm litting. And then you say that, the generation thing. And I go, oh, what he meant was you were good to Boomer. And he really wasn't. And Craig laughed. And I thought it was a good line. And you and Boomer just kept talking and ignored me. And then I walked away because my time was done. I liked it, and Craig laughed. Maybe he was being courteous.
Because you and Craig had never done a damn thing on a football field. That's why you laughed.
What?
Well, yeah, exactly. Now, to the more serious comments that were made, and Boomer's correct on all facets of what he said. Yes, there's more research that's being done, and that's going to help those guys that have come after us. They're making more money. They have better benefits, way better benefits than we enjoyed when we were playing. And that's why all this has come to a head now with this concussion lawsuit. And he's probably right as well, considering the latest research where you had 110 out of 111 brains that were studied, and 110 out of 111 were found to have CTE. And yeah, I'm sure that a lot of us who are participating in this sport have some form or fashion of it, and you see it manifest itself in the way you speak. I've noticed it in memory over the last few years, and I've taken steps to try to reverse that, and that have worked to a certain extent. I believe wholeheartedly what Boomer had to say, and what he had to say, and I've stated this before on this show, and just like he said that he has made these comments previously, and yet for some reason they're being picked up now, and I think it's because of that more recent study in which 110 out of 111 brains were studied and found to have had CTE.
So back to me. The next time I want to insert myself into a conversation with two former professional athletes, how should I do that?
I can't help you there. Never been in that situation.
I thought I did a good job. I thought I liked my line. It was quick. It was right there.
Yeah, whatever.
And nothing. You guys didn't even hear it.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't even hear it. Hey, Booms. I actually just would like Boomer and Craig to know my name after almost 5 years.
Is that what you were trying to accomplish?
Yeah, I mean, like, I see them every morning in the hallway.
And so you're going to use me as the butt of your joke so they will know your name.
Well, I've tried all my other ammo to know Boomer. Well, I have a couple of, you know, common friends-ish that I've name-dropped and nothing.
You know, how about you give up?
I might have to.
Yeah.
I might have to.
Yeah, and Chris Carton over there is taking that.
That's Craig Carton.
Yeah, whatever his damn name. He's taking that tack, too. I don't remember him making a tackle. So, try something else.
Wait, why are you offended?
Get a new routine.
He's on your side.
Mm-mm. I ain't on his. I didn't say I was offended. I just said try a new tack. That's it.
Well, he's in. He's cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, mission accomplished.
Cool with
he's
who?
He's somebody.
Oh. You're somebody to somebody.
Boomer knows his name.
You're somebody to somebody.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
They must be having some fun over there today with the Jets, who lose Chauncey Anunua for the season to a sports reporter's least favorite injury, a bulging disc in his back. One of the three, like, name-valued offensive Jets is now out. What did I say, Chauncey? It's Quincy. See, I don't even know who he is.
How is Chauncey?
It's his brother.
But Chauncey.
You know what? It indirectly goes to my point. He's Chauncey. He's Quincy. He was going to be a Jet that we would have known his name already or learned it this year. Now he's out with a bulging disc in his back. And then Christian Hackenberg. That is his name. Brian didn't know about this until this morning. Apparently Hackenberg yesterday, this is my favorite thing I read yesterday. He was in the middle of 7-on-7 drills and twice back-to-back didn't bring the Jets to the line of scrimmage correctly. So they sent it back once, broke the huddle wrong again. They kicked him out of practice. They kicked a professional quarterback out of practice
because
he can't get the huddle to the line of scrimmage.
Go to the sideline for a minute and think about what you're doing here. And maybe his head wasn't it, and that's interesting that a quarterback, of all people, you have bad days at practice, but to not be able to break the huddle in the manner in which your coach wants you to, that's a new one. I have never seen that, ever. All my years being around football teams, never, ever. You learned that day one.
Yeah.
Was it his second year, third year?
Second year.
And you don't know how to break the huddle properly?
Well,
I don't know what he was doing, and maybe they've changed something this year from last season, because he's running the scout team. You're breaking the huddle in the same manner in which you would break the huddle if you were running with the ones or twos or what have you for your team. And so something must have changed, or they tweaked something in the way which they break the huddle. How do you not know that's second nature to you? You get out of bed breaking the huddle.
And it was
your quarterback.
It was 7-on-7 too. He wasn't even dealing with five offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's strange.
Your Jets. No Chauncey Anunua. And they can't even huddle.
Chauncey.
Chauncey Quincy. It doesn't matter. Eric Coleman, CBS Sports Network, college football coming up on Gio and Jones.